Go ahead, Mike. There's a new system, too. I have no idea what it is, but...
Yeah. It doesn't have a computer, so it just uploads automatically to their server.
Oh, okay.
So I have to, like, save it at the end and all that.
Oh, they were asking me how I like the new thing. I said, I don't know. I've never seen it. All right. So Matthew chapter 6, verses 20. We'll start at... let's go to 24. We'll start at 24 and we'll end at chapter 7. Okay. So... let's read. Now, I'm going to read this. I will read this out of New King James, and somebody else has a different translation. You know, we always love to do that. At least I do. So, why don't you be prepared to read out of something else besides the New King James. Therefore, I say to you, let me back up. Verse 24. You cannot serve. You're the best, buddy. You're the man. Thank you so much. Where was it? Right on the floor? Thanks, Jason. You guys all know Jason?
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Jason.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate that. Okay, so verse 24. No one can serve two masters. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't do it. That's what Jesus is saying. It's right in red right here. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Amen. Okay, so somebody's got a different translation? Who's got the NLT? We'll take it. Go for it. 24, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautiful as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow, won't he more surely care for you? You have so little faith. So don't worry about having enough food or drink or clothing. Why be like the pagans who are so deeply concerned about these things? Your heavenly Father already knows all your needs, and he will give you all you need if
you live for him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Amen. Well, you know, whenever I'm looking at this, I'm always trying to set it up in my own mind in my own imagination, as if I was sitting there listening to Jesus, okay? And he's gone up on the mount, like we've talked about before, and thousands of people are around him with little kids and babies and infants and who knows what, grandmothers and grandfathers, and there are people who had followed him because of the miracles, and they've come up, and he's sitting there, and he's teaching them how his kingdom works.
Can you hear that music now?
I can hear it now. I just get from Bob, he's hesitating a little bit here. I think Bob...
Bob wants to go.
All right, we're not going tonight. What's that?
I'm getting into the word here.
Okay, all right.
You have a strong, powerful voice.
Well, okay. But what, so anyway, so we're sitting there. I'm sitting there listening to Jesus speaking to us, speaking to me. And don't forget, there's people. I'm just setting this in my mind, you guys. Let me have a little license here. But we're sitting there, and I'm like, wow. Just like you were talking about, Justin, we have a teacher there listening. Like, what's going on here? And there's people that are getting up and leaving. And you're a bit distracted because what is he talking about? Masters and all this. What was he talking about? Laying up treasures in heaven. What was he talking about? The lamp of the body. What was he talking about? But I'm listening. My wife's listening. And some friends are listening. But there are people who are leaving because they're not really. It's not really resonating with them because this is a spiritual thing. Okay, and without the Spirit, you can't understand it anyway. It doesn't matter. You can read it. You can have it in your mind, but you can't get it without the Holy Spirit. Like I said, I think we all maybe knew about Jesus at one point, whether you're Catholic, Jehovah's Witness, or whatever. You maybe knew about Jesus, but it wasn't resonating because you weren't born again. Simple as that. But once you're born again, once you have that Spirit come upon you and give you clarity of thought, it's different, isn't it? It's different when the Spirit is in you. When it's alongside you, when it's leading you, when the Spirit is there. So that's how I see this. So as he's saying, you can't serve two masters. I'm sure there were some rich people there. And you start talking about a lot of money, about money with even poor people. And like, what's this man want? What's this Jesus want? He wants money now. I got to serve him and give him my money. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But Jesus is saying you can't have it both ways. You can't be committed to one thing and serve me. You got to be committed to me. Wouldn't you agree with that? It's pretty simple. It's not a theological treatise here. It is simple common sense. It's simply Jesus speaking to us saying, you can't follow me and be distracted. It's not going to work. And Jesus knew every heart there. He knew everybody there. And there are people thinking, I can't do this. I got to go. I can't do this. And there are some stories in the Gospels that we'll look at about that. You know, I want to stop right here for the second because I think this is a big deal. It's a big deal for me personally about money. And I've shared some things about, you know, my love for money, my success. Not as some rich guy living in Newport Beach necessarily, but success in my own little blue-collar way. I think we all want that to some extent. You know, success, the home, the cars, the retirement, you know, retire at 50, Mr. Fireman. You know, all that stuff that, man, it just that's what I want. Making more money, taking a second job, working a mass amount of overtime, doing whatever it takes to get ahead. And even with the best intentions, you cannot serve that. You cannot serve the flesh and God at the same time. It's impossible. Can somebody get Luke 16:14? Luke 16:14. Just raise your hand if you're going to get that for me. Okay, got that. 1 Timothy 6:10. Mike, why don't you get that? And then... Robert, why don't you get 2 Timothy 3:2? Joe, how about Mark 10:17-22? Mark 10:17-22. And then Bianca, why don't you get Matthew 19:16-22. Now, why is it so important to Jesus? Why is this so important about this money issue, this mammon, this masters, these two things? That's what he's talking about, fundamentally. Why is that so important to Jesus to really hammer that home to everybody that's listening here? Why is it so important that us sitting here right now tonight, why is it so important for us to remember this and get this done? Yeah. Right. You cannot serve God and mammon, can you? Luke 16:14.
Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard of these things and made them ridicule.
Okay. So the Pharisees, they were who? They were lovers of money. But for the culture, they were like the attorneys. They're like the law people. They're the people. They're the seers. There's the sage. They're the people that know the Mosaic law, the covenant. They know everything about it. They're smart men. Well,
they were.
Yeah, but there's law. I mean, yeah, but they were lawyers too. Yeah, I mean, they were like you know, the Congress, the Senate. They were like the ruling party. Those men were the people that the culture went to for help and guidance. They really were, yeah. Because they were the smart men. They were rich. They were typically. And they're very learned men. So we're attracted to people who are very smart. We are. Can't help it. We're attracted to people that are smarter than we are. It's just the way we are. We're attracted to that. So, but the Pharisees, they love the money. So clue number one is Jesus is talking about the Pharisees here. You know, he's talking about the culture of you have the rich and the poor, and how the poor really want to be rich, don't they? Do the rich want to be poor? Not a chance. No way. So as Jesus is talking to the multitude, he's saying, listen, the love of money, those Pharisees, that's not who you want to follow. They aren't your best examples here. They are not the best examples. 1 Timothy 6:10.
For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs.
Amen. Okay. 1 Timothy 6:10, right.
Yeah.
2 Timothy 3:2.
For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers.
Whatever pertains here, yes, sir.
Unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away.
Amen. Love it. And then there's a parable or story that Jesus has in Mark 10, one of my favorite ones. And Matthew and Mark are pretty similar here, but Mark chapter 10 of Mark, verse 17 through 22, who has that? Okay, Joe, read it out loud, please. With authority, sir.
Thank you.
He was disheartened, so he went away. And then finally, Matthew 19, 16 through 22. Matthew 19, 16 through 22. Possessions. Yeah. Very good. Thank you. Thank you. John, what do you think about this? What's going on here? Yeah, so right. You know, because this value, this money, and again, you know, we kind of make fun of Orange County sometimes about how money-driven we are, but there's nothing new under the sun. I mean, they were money-driven here. There was no Orange County 2,000 years ago. I don't know where the nice place in Jerusalem was. I don't know if it was by the beach. I don't know. I don't know what the resort areas were, but there were some nice ones because people are all the same. There's nothing new under the sun. There's just not. And there was very rich people, and there were very poor people. A middle class, maybe, but probably not. But, you know, as I'm writing these notes down, I got to ask you, how has money affected your life? Let me rephrase that. Because money in itself is not evil, right? We all know this. We've all gone through these scriptures before. I know I have, and so have you. Okay? But we're going to hit it home tonight in this class. Money is not evil. The dollar bills that I have in my wallet right now, the 20s, the hundreds, the $1,000 bills that I have in my wallet right now, I'm just kidding, are not evil. They're not. My credit card is not evil. Okay, the love of it is evil, right? We all understand that, right? As Christians, as Bereans in the Word, the love of money is what kills you. It's not your money. It's the distraction. It's your affair with it. It's your adultery with your money. That's what God cannot tolerate. And these two examples in Mark and Matthew, you know, I love this when Jesus said, You know, he came and said, you know, what could I do to inherit eternal life? You know, I've been a good boy. I've been a good boy. I love my folks. I love everybody. I've been doing well. I give to the poor. You know, I do everything. I tithe. And Jesus loved him. Remember it said? So I think that's so important. Jesus felt compassion for him. Jesus loved him and said, like John said, he knew his heart. You know what? There's only one thing that's keeping you from me. You've done pretty well, actually. You're a good boy. But here's one thing you're not. You need to give up all your money and go serve the poor. Give it to the poor. And that was too much for him. And again, the question is, how has money affected your life? And what was it that may have been too much for you that you almost would say to Jesus, I can't give that up? Does anybody have that? Anybody experience that? Interesting. That's something that's significant in your life, isn't it?
Oh, I really remember that.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Well, I probably mentioned it before, but you know, in my life, I've always been a workaholic and willing to work two jobs. Just I can't really have anything to show for it right now, but I worked a lot, and I wasn't afraid to work. You know, put my family second, my wife second, to go work. The more money I made, the more successful I felt. My love of money was, you know, very, very hard on me and my family, physically, mentally, emotionally. It just was, you know. But I'm one of those guys because my dad wasn't quite like that. But you know what the fathers do in moderation, the children do in excess. What proverbs is that? I can't remember. Yeah, it's in Proverbs. I think so. Yeah, well, it's there somewhere. All right, I'm gonna have to find it now. Okay, somebody. Oh, here we go. No, it is just there. What the fathers do in moderation, the children do in excess. So, I know I should never do that without exactly knowing where it is. Thank you. Thanks for the challenge. But anyway, the principle is there, isn't it? And that's a true principle. Huh? Am I paraphrasing it?
Yeah.
Oh, paraphrasing. Yeah, yeah. What's that?
I think two people.
Okay, and they'll find it too. That's good. That's how we do it. So, the distraction, the priority of life can certainly get deranged if you're not very careful. So, our Jesus, God, is preaching on the side of the hill. On the Sermon on the Mount, saying, don't love money more than me. Just don't do it. Now, I don't know if any of you struggle with that right now. Hopefully not. But I think it's one of those things that keeps coming around. If you've lost everything, lost jobs and all that, it can be still a distraction. Yes, Dawn. Yeah.
Where my lack of money, actually, even though I made a very good salary, I mean, I was making like $60,000 a year, but I didn't get child support. So I was just obsessed with thinking about, with just managing my money to the T, every penny, every dollar. Like, I would map out, like, how to get to each grocery store that had the best deal, and I was just like so. That was like my life.
Yeah, right.
And I just put artwork in my bathroom 6 months ago that is Matthew 6:26 about the bird that one of my friends made for me, and so. When I was making that much money, and I was really distracted because I knew that what I was making physically was barely enough for my son and I to survive, and living in this area, of course. But then, as soon as I got hurt and went to workers' comp, and now, of course, I'm not making my store manager bonuses and stuff, it's crazy because the Lord has brought me so much more money. In different ways, and he's like really healed that part of me from my childhood growing up really, really poor, where I was just like so afraid that like I wasn't gonna have enough money to feed my son and I.
Right.
Even as a Christian, I was still like kind of trying to do it myself. I was like, yeah, this is just realistic.
Right.
This is reality. Like, you have to accept reality. That doesn't mean that you don't believe.
Yeah. Well, I think this is gonna come right into the next section about not worrying about life, right? We're right on. That's exactly what's gonna segue right into. But money as your God, even before we get into don't worry about your life, money as your God is what Jesus is talking about to those folks on the mountain. So as we, even leave this class tonight, that's going to be, you got to remember this. I have to remember this for myself because it sneaks back in there. I don't know about you guys, but it does. I'm sorry, it just does. And I know better. I know better. But it happens because of our culture and because of our lack of faith. And I get really, I can really get almost discouraged and depressed when I start thinking about money. I hate it. I'm confessing to you. You know, as strong as I am in some things, it just bugs me. Yeah, Bob.
The hardest part about it is you can manipulate it in your mind a million ways to justify reasons worth that extra time. And the worst part is if you do it, God bless you.
Oh, my gosh. That is a word. Bob. Have you been reading my mind? Now that's a good word, Bob. Really, that is exactly what I love about this class. That's reality. That's real life. It's real life spoken. Because that's exactly what happens. Yes. Yeah.
And then by the end of the month, you still have the same money that you would have used it worth the overtime. You don't know what happened to the money. The Lord takes that.
That is so right on. Yeah.
I think if you don't do it His way, it's not really yours.
Yes.
Even though you think you've earned it, it's not really yours.
Mm-hmm.
You stepped on your wife to get it, or you stepped on your children to get it, or you stepped on the Lord by ignoring Him, and it's not really yours. You stole it. stolen from the people around you your valuable time.
Well, it's pretty cool because, yes, absolutely. Because here's 24, here's 24, verse 24, you cannot serve God and riches. You can't do both of them, right? And as we read on, so he's made that clear, right? Everybody clear on that? Okay. So here's how he follows up on it. When you get to heaven, do you think we can sit down and, maybe relive the Sermon on the Mount? Maybe they got a video, a DVD in living color. I'd love to just sit there. But, what we have right now is the Spirit speaking to us. And let's read the rest of this, because I think we understand that you can't serve God and money both. You can't do it. Not according to Jesus. Although, if you take anything in this class tonight, what Bob Rank said was, but he'll let you.
That was great.
But he'll let you. He won't stop you, but he'll let you. And that's when it just doesn't go that well. I've experienced that. How about you? So let's read. I'm going to read 25 through 33. Oh, did I? What? Okay. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Don't worry about that money. Don't go crazy about the money. Listen. Therefore, I say to you, let me read that. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his nature or stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So, he keeps, this is the third time he's going to go over. You realize that? He's repeating himself three times. Jesus, the Son of God, God himself, is repeating himself three times. Now, let me just finish it up here. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles, the unbelievers, seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. And I'm going to stop right there. We'll save 33 for last, 33 and 34. So, what's the point?
Don't worry.
Don't worry, be happy. Remember that song? Don't worry, be happy. This sermon kind of sums all that up, doesn't it? You can't worry. Now, who worries about their clothes and their food? Sometimes I do. Who worries about paying their rent? Sometimes I do. Who worries about retirement and what's going to happen? I do sometimes. And who's ashamed to tell you that? Me. Because I know better. I do. I know better not to do that, but God is faithful just to pat me on the head and say, Will, I'm with you. I'm with you. When I first became a Christian, the first time I kind of lost everything, jobs failed. I was in this business as a private investigator. It went sideways with a couple partners of mine. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do. And I didn't lose my house that time. I actually sold my house. But it was getting to the point, like the next couple months, I couldn't afford to pay my house anymore. And I was just like, oh, my God. But I was a Christian. I knew, and this got me through it, you guys. I'm telling you, reading this personally, just believing what Jesus said, it every time I'd get anxious or started to worry a lot or get discouraged or depressed, I would read this. And I said, if I don't read this and believe it, then I'm going to go nuts. I will. I'll go crazy. Because there's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do to save this except just trust God. And finally, somebody came and bought my house up in Sacramento area, Gulp Grove. And I moved down to Southern California. But it was like on the edge, like I've never been on the edge before. Because I've always been a hard worker. I've always provided. I've never been without a job. And very proud of it, by the way. So it's interesting how sometimes God just puts you those trials, you know, to teach you lessons, right? That's the whole point. Anybody else got a quick testimony about that? I know Don was sharing. But Don, and Don, you're right. I mean, it's God just takes care of us if you believe. Yes, yeah.
It was just as damaging for me because I was in constant fear. And plus, because I don't have family here. So I was in constant fear that, oh my gosh, what if I can't provide enough for Dawson and I? Oh, what am I going to do? And where would I go? I don't have family here. And da da da. You know, so it was this constant, you know, one, you know, the obsession with money just led to thing after.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point. And I think that there was probably not a whole lot of wealthy people following Jesus on the mountain.
Yeah.
So you're absolutely right.
But Jesus says that he loves the poor. Like, that's something that got me through was, like, God would always lead me to the areas where it would talk about how he has favor on the poor people and the widows. And I mean, myself that I was poor. I mean, I was making good money, but the fact that, like, I literally sometimes, like, would have to eat soup for a week, you know, because that was just what
sure.
I was living.
Mm-hmm.
But just God would always lead me to those areas, and I was just like, so that comforted me.
Right.
And,
amen.
You know.
That's good. That's a great point. I love that. Yeah. Yeah. You know, when the Israelites were in Egypt and God delivered them and they were out in the wilderness, you know, what happened? I mean, they really, in a way, they had it okay. I mean, there was some brutality in Egypt, but really they were fairly safe as long as they made those bricks. They weren't starving to death. I'm not saying it was a great time, but they were okay, right? I mean, that's what they say, because when God delivered them out of bondage, they did what? After a while. That's exactly right. And so have you. You've all thought of that also, haven't you? To go back. Yeah, Deuteronomy 8:3, I have it down here. Deuteronomy 8:3. Let me just read it to you. Actually, it's in the context, it'd be chapter 8, verses 2 through 4. But let me just read it for you. You'll get it because you've read it before. And just personalize this right now. Everybody just listen and personalize this to yourselves. Okay. So we humbled you. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you known, that he might make you know that a man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Now, where is that at in the New Testament? Jesus in the wilderness being tempted by the devil. That's right. Let me read it one more time. I think it's so important. I mean, when I was going through this today, just, you know, reminding myself, it ministered to me. So, Will, I humbled you. And you can put your own name there. So, Will, I humbled you and I allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know. That I might make you known that a man shall not live by bread alone. And all that work and all that labor and all that savings account means really, in the big picture, not a thing. And most of us have experienced that. But man, woman, lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. And there's a covenant there, isn't there? There's a covenant between God and us. You know, for them was the old covenant, the Mosaic law, the old covenant, Mosaic covenant. But for us, it's the new covenant. That if we receive Christ as our Savior, He snatches out from the fires of hell. If that's not good enough, and gives you eternal life. If that's not good enough, He's going to take care of you. That's what Jesus told those folks on the side of the hill. That's what He's telling us right now. So I think we should not make any mistake here that God's speaking to all of us. What's going to come in the next months or years, I have no idea. I mean, I know what Revelation teaches us. I know what Jesus teaches about the end times. When it happens, I have no clue. But it could get real, really bad. I don't know. I just know a little bit about it. I know enough. And that manna that He gives you, He wants to remind you, you don't live by bread. It's not about the clothes you have on. It's not all about that. But it's about the manna He's going to give you. Physically, okay. But more than that, spiritually. Amen? Is that not the truth? And we need to make sure we have this, folks. I'm trying to make sure it's in my brain. Because I really believe when we're in a class like this that you're going to have to teach that to some people. And make no mistake, I believe I'm in the Spirit. You will have to comfort people and remind them of just this. I know you've been over this before. I know you've read this before. You must have. But I think there's a sense of urgency for this. I really, really do. More than there ever has. The end times are among us. They're in front of us. They're with us. Deuteronomy 8:16, it kind of goes over again. It's interesting that these were repeated, and I think it's important when it's repeated in the Scriptures, we better take heed. Like Jesus saying, don't worry, don't be anxious, don't be anxious, don't be anxious. I have it written down. He says it like six times. Don't worry. Deuteronomy 8:16, who fed you in the wilderness with manna which your fathers did not know. This is a whole different part. That He might humble you, that He might test you, that He might test you, you to do good in the end. He's preparing us for the kingdom of God. It's coming. So I thought those scriptures there, I just love those. I mean, there's 100 more we could talk about, but those are just things I brought up right now.
Well, he does. His dad gets him into a place. He helps him out. Then he has to go back and pay him back.
tell him about Jesus, and his dad would say, shut up. So he didn't talk about it.
Yeah. Wow, that's a great. Yeah. There you go. That's cool. Well, let's go back just a little bit here. Therefore, do not worry saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He knows what you have need of. And it's not, I don't really need the SUV that I really want right now. He knows that I want it, but I don't need it to. Are these like this is like the best part of this to me. But, so, I know what you need, okay? But here's the thing. Jesus is telling this, again, put your imagination on here. He's telling them, now, I've told you all about the money's not the most important thing. Don't worry about all this. Has God not taken care of you? I mean, does the God not take care of his creation? And how important are you in all this? I mean, how important are you? And we're listening. But he says, listen to this. But, in contrast to all that, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Okay, first of all, let's just throw this out. What is the kingdom of God? Seek first the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? It's not a trick question or anything. Just how do you, what is your understanding of the kingdom of God? Heaven? Okay. All right. Anybody else?
Whenever I hear that, I always just think of the things of God.
Okay. Heaven, the things of God. Okay. Anybody else?
Spiritual realm, you know, like a relationship with Jesus and going to church and just, you know, just anything related to like your spiritual life versus like your fleshy life.
Okay. What? Anybody else?
His
yes?
Commandments.
As to what?
To seek his commandments, his statutes, what he desires alone.
Okay. Okay. Justin?
For years, I would just replace this whole sentence with Jesus because it really is God's righteousness.
Yeah.
But it's the spiritual realm in which Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords and everything is in this world. So that kingdom is coming.
Yeah.
It's not yet here, but it's within us at the same time, in a spiritual sense. But,
see, he is reminding all these thousands of people. He's reminding us right now that we can be very worrisome about things and anxious. We can be very anxious about things, but he contrasts it with all these things that you seek, and I know that you see the Pharisees and you see the rich people, and I know that they've set the standard for you. I know that. I get it, folks. But I'm telling you, don't worry about all that stuff. I'm telling you, don't even waste your time trying to find those coupons necessarily.
I don't anymore.
No, it's not even a bad thing to get coupons. But don't love that more than me. Because I tell you what, he says, but of all that, seek me, seek Jesus, keep your eyes on the heavens, understand that this is a temporary life. Understand that I am the way, the truth, and the life. Understand that my words are life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's not about those things I just discussed with you. Okay? Don't be caught up in all that. It's not that they're bad. There's nothing wrong with clothes. We have to make sure we understand this. It's not about money's bad or clothes are bad or eating. We all have the, you know, and again, you've all heard about this, but you cannot put that before me. If you'll seek me first and all my goodness and all my righteousness and everything that's good about God, about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, if you seek that first and put me first, guess what? You'll have everything you need. It's all of it, right? I mean, it's not just here, but it's up there. And it's all around us. It really is. I mean, it's the kingdom of heaven is with us. We just got to make sure we're walking in it. Yes, Robert.
It's a relationship. We're to work on our relationship. Yeah. And then the second relationship we're working on is relationship with our fellow man.
Yeah.
It's basically relationships are what we're working on, and the labors of life is much lower on the ladder.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Yeah, I do. Have you had that experience, though, when you're just seeking God and these things just take care of themselves? Mm-hmm. I have this experience. I know it's true, but I need to be reminded of it. Because I have a short memory, unfortunately. That's not because I'm almost 60. It's just because I'm human. And I want that. I want those things. And Jesus isn't, you know, I can be distracted over there. And that's the, it's all about relationship. You're absolutely right, Robert. It's the truth. Yes. Can you speak up a little bit? Amen. And I love the word when it says "but," that's a contrast. This is how you think, but this is how I want you to think. Put me first in your life. It's as simple as that. It's not rocket science. It's just a science of relationship. It is an effort. It's a mindset to seek God first. And all these things will be added unto you. You don't have to worry about them. For the most part.
Like today, your morning was kind of trying. And I was just thinking about seeking first the kingdom. But the day didn't really start shifting. You know, you have those days where it's just like, this is one of those days. And there was breakthrough when we started testifying about what God had done in our lives. We started, instead of worrying about our situation, we started talking about how God had delivered us in the past. And one of the guys here at Psalm 19 was just reading about all the testimonies of God. It doesn't matter what language you speak. When God does something, it don't matter what language you speak, you know God just did something. And in creation, it's talking about that's a testimony of God doing miracles. And so as we started sharing about God delivering us from financial issues, marital issues, everything, it just, the atmosphere broke. The kingdom of heaven came because now we just shifted from worry into a spiritual realm talking about how God delivered us. And he loves that. It's like, you know, he inhabits the praises of people, not just Sunday morning lifting hands, but he kind of testified about how God is magnified. Then boom, the atmosphere shifted.
Amen. That's so right on. So, this seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. All what things? Bianca, what things is He going to add? Follow Him. Okay. And after that, because you're seeking the kingdom of God and all these things, what He's talking about is what you eat, like taking care of you and your daughter.
Yeah.
What about your body, you know? Food, clothing, all of that. I'll take care of it, He said. That's what He said. Do you believe Him or not? I think that's what it comes down to. And this sums up the whole sermon, doesn't it? Is that not the whole sermon here? And we have chapter 7 left. I understand that. But right now, up to this point, seek first the kingdom of God. All this stuff, listen to me. All this stuff is good. It's all right. But if you seek Me first and My righteousness in the kingdom of God, all these things will be added unto you. They'll come along and you don't even know it. Like that manna. They were the manna they didn't expect it, did they? And again, they couldn't save it up. I think that's pretty amazing. They could not save the manna up. I think that's pretty fascinating. So make God your priority and live. And the Jesus should be your supreme pursuit. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Well, let's talk about that a bit. You think that's important? Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Let me read it out of the Living here. I got it printed out here. So don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of you tomorrow too. Live one day at a time. Does that kind of bother you a little bit, that translation?
What did He say instead of sufficient for the day is its own trouble?
Who?
The other version.
Oh, the Living?
That was the Living.
Yeah.
The NLT, mine says,
good.
So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough to begin.
Yeah, I mean, that's the point, right? Worrying about tomorrow. That's what I did when I first told you about when I lost my job. I mean, like the first time I had this nice house in Elk Grove, California, and everything was, and it was just collapsing. And it's never happened to me before. I was not in control. I like to be in control of my own destiny. Don't you? Don't you? Come on. But, yeah, exactly. What'd you say? No, but Robert, I never forget this. This is like in my mind. Yeah, the thing is, you can edge God out and He'll let you. That's God. That's why I don't want to go there anymore. And I don't want to go on that edge. Oh, come on, Will, you want to try that again? Nope. Remember, I tell you the story about, I left the ministry, went truck driving, lost it all. Decided to go back into trucking because I mean, it's like Peter. I'm gonna go fishing. I got nothing else here. I gotta go. I gotta do something. So I got that truck driving job. Got right in. Bang! It's a good job, good pay, and everything. And Jesus spoke to me. Says, "Is this what you really want to do the rest of your life?" Now I like truck driving. I think it's an honorable job. I do. I like it. Sometimes I dream about it, even when I'm sitting in my office there, John. Because he's all by himself, you just by yourself, or you just, oh, everything, yeah, I mean, yeah, you ever crossed Wyoming in the spring with the sun coming up, with the, you know, the snow on the mountains, and just it's I love that stuff. We get chills thinking about it. But that's not what God's called me to do. I had a season of it. But that's, Will, is this really what you want to do for the rest of your life? Is that what you want, son? Because I'll let you. That scared the Hades out of me. It really did. No, it's not. Well, then, come do what I told you to do. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Because he loves his son, you know. He loves his daughters, and he loves his sons. And he loves us enough to keep us safe. He wouldn't let me do anything reckless, I don't think. He's always been convicting me of that. But he will let me do things to teach me lessons. I know that. And this is the man, Christ Jesus, on this mountain here telling his people, our forefathers, our brothers and sisters in Christ 2,000 years ago, this is the way I roll. You want a part of this or not? You want to follow the Pharisees? You want to follow me? You want eternal life? Or do you want to pursue life as it is? I say, follow me. Seek first the kingdom of God and my righteousness, all of that. And by the way, don't worry about today or tomorrow. I'll take care of it. And that's the beautiful part of our Jesus. Amen? What it is? Ready to go home?
Can I make one comment?
If it's long, they'll hate you. If it's a long comment, they'll hate you.
It's not. It's actually your comment. So, in spiritual warfare, you made a statement that was literally life-changing for me, and I've shared it with 5 or 6 other sisters. So worry is from the enemy. And
yeah, I think so.
Said that Satan does one of two things. He'll either get us, like, keep us stuck and dwelling in the past, or he has us looking so far into the future about what we're going to do, or where we're going to go, or the house we're going to build, or the trip we're going to take, you know, or whatever, that we're not effective in today.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And
yeah.
Being effective for Christ. Yeah, that was seriously, that, like, marinated around for, like, 5 days straight. I was just like, wow, it was really the benefits we found.
Well, thanks for reminding me, so I can practice that myself. Seriously,
it's the same about the don't worry thing, because when we're so busy worrying about tomorrow, or we're constantly futurizing, then we miss, like, divine appointments that the Lord has for us.
And, amen. That is so, Don, that is so right on. And that's good. You know, I have it down here. Anxiousness is like this concern. You know, to be anxious for something can be, hey, grandma's coming, you know, and we're anxious, and that's fun. But really, it, for us, for the most part, it implies a lack of trust, really, doesn't it? In this context here, it's a lack of trust. It's a lack of faith. And how do you please God? Faith. God loves it, okay? Satan hates it. Lucifer hates it. The devil hates it, but God loves it. And I want to please God. How about you? So Jesus is telling us on this mount, listen, trust me. Trust me. Can you trust me? Because if you can, I've got a marvelous, marvelous future for you. Don't worry about today. Okay. I'm guilty. I worry about today sometimes, but this is what this class is all about, is to remind us of that. Not just for us, but for others. We can't worry about today or tomorrow. It doesn't help us one bit. But as men and women, we just do that. But this is a reminder, don't do that. So if you see me worrying about something, come over and bump me and say, don't worry. Be happy. I'm thinking about getting that song on my iPhone. Don't worry, be happy. And then my wife will say, oh, no, don't worry about that. I go, what are you talking about? I'm not worried about it. I'm just worrying about it. I'm the one. It's on my shoulders. It's my responsibility. You don't have to worry about it. I have to worry about it. You know, I'm the man here, right? Isn't that male chauvinist thing? I am. I'm a male chauvinist pig. I am. Can't help it. I am. Well, I think I'm getting a little sick. Thank you, Bianca, for sharing that. I think I am. I'm getting a little bit.
Yeah,
well. I tell you what, we're going to close. You guys are tired. You guys are working people. We're all working people. But let's do this. Let's have some prayer. I'll tell you what. Joe, when it's silent, why don't you close some prayer, okay? But right now, let's just go around the room and let's pray, and then then Joe will close us. He'll be the last one to pray, and then we'll depart and go home and not worry about how much gas you got in your car. I know. When all is said and done, more is said and done. Yes, John?
If you don't mind, I'm going to start off with a friend named Julia, who I just found out that she's got a spot on her breast.
Okay.
She's already had enough problems with cancer in the past.
We'll absolutely agree with you, John. You bet. Amen.
And she's a
Christian?
Thank you, Lord. Cool. Yes, Lord.
Lord, we just thank you for this time of word tonight. Pray that it would just continue to resonate in our hearts and minds. Even as we drive home, you would just intimately sow these things deep into our spirit, Father, that we have them, that they transform us, that they renew our mind, that we would feed them out, Lord. Don't feed your sheep. I'm just thinking about my friend Nick, Lord. I just pray your peace that overcomes all understanding. Just guard his heart and his mind tonight. Lord, that you'd open the door for him. Work and be able to provide for his children, Lord, for his family. And I just pray that you would take away anxiety from us, Lord, that the spirit of holiness that raised Jesus from the dead would baptize us and empower us.
Precious Heavenly Father, I also come before you with a throne of grace and mercy, Father God. And just to thank you and praise you, Father, for who you are in our lives, Father. We are in so awe of who you are, Lord. You are so good to us, and you're so loving and so caring, Lord. That through your scriptures, Lord, you desire that our hearts would be turned, Lord. Turn away from the things of the world, Lord, and turn our hearts to you, Lord. And Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters, dear Father, for Pastor Leo, Lord. As we meditate, Lord, through the scriptures, through the week, Lord, I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you will continue to work in our hearts, Lord, and if there's anything that it's within our heart that continues to worry us, Lord, that we would just remove it, Father. And I pray, Lord, that we would focus in all the things of heaven, Lord, and not on the things of the earth, which are only temporal, Lord, and they're here only for a while, Lord. But to know, Father, that our life, our spirit, would be with you for eternity, Lord God, and we should keep our focus on you, my Lord Jesus, Father. I pray that we would not worry and then trust you at the same time, because our hearts would be divided, Lord. But that we would put our full trust in you, my Lord. I thank you, Lord, for this class, for Pastor Will, Lord. I pray for my brothers and sisters, and you go before
them. Thank you, Lord.
This evening and the rest of the week, I ask you to thank you, Jesus, and I pray, amen.
Lord, I just pray that you will speak to our hearts about everything we learned tonight. And it's just, I'm sure it impacts most everybody here, but I know it really impacts me. It's impacted almost my entire life, and I just just want to stop being the manipulator and stop being the person who justifies going after the things that we discussed tonight, and that I would just make the relationships of life what I pursue. And just like we were talking about earlier, Laura, that we could just, that relationships would be more important than work, making money. That we work hard when we have the chance and give it all we have, but then when that clock strikes five or whenever we get off, we truly do get off. Thank you, God, for being our King and for giving us these awesome words to lighten our yoke and just give us a better life and more joy and more happiness. You're just doing it for us. Thank you for your benefits.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word, and we know that your word says that your word will not return void, so we just pray that your word just settles in our heart and just goes through us, and that we just truly understand it, and that we understand it with our mind and with our hearts, and I pray that you help us to be more like Mary, and less like Martha.
Mm.
She chose the right thing, and that we just focus our relationship with you and just sit at your feet and not worry about tending to everything else, because Mary did choose the better thing. And we just pray that you'll just help us to learn how to put you first in our life, because in the natural, that's not always easy for us to do. But we just, with your help, it's possible.
God, I just want to thank you that we have access to you, Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord. That we don't have to do all the sacrificing rituals and the old testament. Lord, I just want to ask you, God, that if there's any one of my brothers or sisters in the room tonight, Lord, that has a particular question on their heart or something that is burdening them, Lord, even if it's just asking you what you would have the next step in their life, in their walk, Lord. I just pray, Father, that you would just show yourself strong, Lord, and that they would be reminded to allow you to answer them through just quiet time and being still, Lord, and allowing that time for you to speak to them. Lord, I just pray for just a special cover of protection to for each one of my brothers and sisters here tonight, especially Pastor Will and Bianca and Michael starting to sit. And we thank you for this person, Jesus.
Hmm. Yeah, Lord, it's good to be here. And Lord, thank you for reminding us so clearly about your word, Lord. And Lord, it's a privilege to be with these folks here, Lord. I mean, there's other things they could be doing tonight, Lord, but they've chosen. We've all chosen to be here, Lord, fellowshipping and reading your word and sharpening each other, Lord. Lord, may everything we said, Lord, tonight has glorified you. And Lord, as Joe closes, Lord, thank you for your provision spiritually and practically in our lives. Thank you. Amen. All right. See you next week. So we have. Wow.